KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. With sea ice receding and shipping traffic on the rise in the Bering Strait, there's been an influx in policy processes to regulate international waters that until fairly recently had not existed. Many in the region are concerned that those policies will ignore subsistence hunters' needs. Kowarik is compiling traditional knowledge into an atlas, a communication tool for tribes that want to participate in the policymaking process. Lily Ray Gadamus is a social scientist at Kowarik. Gadamus hopes the atlas will help tribes communicate with policymakers when they want to comment on shipping routes or propose development.
They can use these maps to say, look, this has been identified as an important area where, say, young bearded seals are feeding. So we want to take that into consideration if a mine is being proposed or if a road, a gravel pit. They can use these maps as a communication tool or as evidence to support their point.
Kowarik has been working with subsistence hunters and elders to develop this tool to help tribes communicate with policymakers. Over the past 2 years, Gadamus and the Kowarik team have worked with 82 hunters and elders from 9 communities to record what they know about walrus and seal habitat.
So the goal of this project was to draw on the amazing amount of traditional knowledge there is in this region. The people who get out there in the ocean, among the sea ice, boat for long distances, have been observing seals and walruses all their life, and to work with them to identify the important areas for seals and walruses, as well as the factors that could influence the health of the populations.
The regional atlas will combine dozens of habitat maps with traditional knowledge of marine mammals and scientific data on walrus and seal populations. Participating tribes will get a draft to review by the end of the summer. The regional atlas will be released to the public by the end of 2013. At the subsistence hunter's request, Kowarik also collected an ethics of subsistence hunting, hunting safety information, and traditions of respectful hunting. Gadamus hopes to implement a community outreach program to share those values. To hear more, listen to Profiles today after the 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. weather. NOAA Fisheries wants to hear final comments about a recent environmental impact statement that looks at the effects of oil and natural gas exploration on marine mammals. Michael Payne is chief of the Permits and Conservation Division for the National Marine Fisheries Service. He explains that an EIS is required to analyze impacts of federal activities on the environment. An original draft was released in 2010. After numerous public comments, NIMS released the most recent supplemental statement in March. He says their primary focus was looking at effects of different levels of oil and gas activity on the environment.
But a lot of the comments also focused on how that fits into a larger scenario, looking at the Arctic over a larger period of time, and how things like global warming or a decreased ice level or increased traffic might also affect Alaskan natives, and where does this oil and gas activity fit into the bigger picture?
Payne says the NIMS is the custodian of large whales, seals, and sea lions and only has the ability to authorize actions affecting marine mammals and subsistence.
This document doesn't authorize oil and gas drilling. It doesn't authorize water quality standards, anything like that. But it does review them as part of the cumulative total picture that we're looking at.
Payne shares that each community has different views and different needs when it comes to exploratory drilling in the Arctic. He says that the NIMS is working to address this.
We want to make sure that a level of activity doesn't affect the ability of native hunters to get bowhead or seals at any time of the year. We also want to make sure that the companies are prepared for anything that might may or may not go wrong in these operations if they go forward.
Payne says the EIS will be used as a baseline in the future to decide whether or not to approve applications for seismic work or drilling in the Arctic. You can submit your comments by going online, regulations.gov. The deadline for comments has been extended until June 27th. Alaska's senior U.S. senator has been picked to lead the National Republican Senatorial Committee's Native American program. Senator Lisa Murkowski, in a release, said she was proud to take on the leadership of the new initiative. It's aimed at improving communications between Senate Republicans and Native American voters. Chairman Jerry Moran said in a release he's thrilled to have Murkowski involved. Murkowski serves on the Senate Indian Affairs Committee and received strong support during her 2010 re-election campaign from Alaska Natives. Kid entrepreneurs will be hitting the streets this Saturday in 9 communities across the region as part of a nationwide program designed to teach youth how to start, own, and operate their own small business, a lemonade stand. That's right, Lemonade Day is back and bigger than ever.
This is the first year we've reached out to the surrounding communities.
That's Alice Bayoff, business planning specialist for Kowarik and part of the Lemonade Day organizing committee in Nome.
And this year we have, so far, of course, Nome, and then we have Brevik Mission, Koyuk, Shishmaref, St. Michael, Stebbins, Teller, Gamble, and Junocleet.
Bayoff says Kowarik expanded the free program to 9 communities because last year's Lemonade Day, the first in Nome, was such a success.
We had great participation last year. The kids just enjoyed it. They were excited. And that's why we're doing it again this year.
Lemonade Day is a nationwide program started by a techie philanthropist in Houston in 2007. Lemonade Day spread to cities across the nation from Chicago to Boston to Nome and now to Gamble. Lemonade Day participants, preschoolers to high school seniors, build their own lemonade business from top to bottom. They choose a location, find investors, develop a marketing strategy, and more.
They decide where they're going to be, what they're going to provide, what they're going to sell, how much they're going to price their items, it's all and how long they're going to stay open. It's all up to them.
Last year, young entrepreneurs made close to $2,800 in revenue, and only half of the stands reported their business results. Youth are encouraged to save, spend, and donate part of their profits. Bayoff says each young entrepreneur decides what to do with the money they make. Last year, participants donated about $600 to charities. Bayoff says the free event teaches youth important life skills.
Learn, or some of the skills they learn are like how to set goals, how to plan for success, find investors, advertise their product, how to build their stand, purchase supplies, and all those great life skills, and they're having fun while they're doing that. So it's just a great program.
More than 100 young entrepreneurs have already registered for the event in Nome. Youth can still register for the event the day of. Nome residents can check their P.O. boxes for a Lemonade Day map showing 58 of the stand locations. For those customers who would like to take a tour from stand to stand, Kowarik will have a shuttle bus tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock at the Nome Visitor Center. And a look at the price of gold today, down $23.80 an ounce to $1,435.70. An ounce of silver down 13 cents to $23.72. According to the Alaska Airlines flight tracker, Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is not operating as scheduled. It says Flight 151 was expected to arrive in Nome at 8:25. Unofficially 32 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.